ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 7th క్యాంటో 9th చాప్టర్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 48.
ం వాయురగ్నిరవనేర్వ్యదంబు ప్రాణేంద్రియాణి హృదయం చిదనుగ్రహశ్చ సర్వం త్వమేవ సగుణో విగుణశ్చ భూమన్. నాన్యత్వదస్త్యపి మనో వచసా నిరుక్తం.
ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ గే. ఓ సుప్రీం లార్డ్, యు ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ ద ఎయిర్, ద ఎర్త్, ఫైర్, స్కై అండ్ వాటర్. యు ఆర్ ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ సెన్స్ పర్సెప్షన్, ద లైఫ్ ఎయిర్స్, ద ఫైవ్ సెన్సెస్, the mind, consciousness and false ego. Indeed, you are everything subtle and gross. The material elements and anything expressed either by the words or by the mind are nothing but you. Purport. This is the all-pervasive conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which explains how he spreads everywhere and anywhere. Sarvam kalvamidam brahma. Everything is Brahman, the supreme Brahman, Krishna. Nothing exists without him. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.4,
maya tadavinam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina mastani sarvabhutani nachaham teshva vastitah.
I exist everywhere and everything exists in me. Yet, I am not visible in everywhere. The Lord can be visible only through devotional service. Tatra tishthami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. The Supreme Lord stays only where his devotees chant his glories.
Om ajnanatya virandhasya jnananjana shalakaya చక్షుః ఉన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః.
హరే కృష్ణ. ఐఎమ్ వెరీ సారీ టు డిసప్పాయింట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. దిస్ మార్నింగ్ మెనీ మైట్ హవ్ ఎక్స్పెక్టెడ్ ఇస్ వెల్ నజ్ రాజనాథ్ స్వామి మహారాజ్ టు బి గివింగ్ దిస్ మార్నింగ్ క్లాస్. ఎస్పెషలీ ఐఎమ్ వెరీ సారీ ఫర్ పూనా డివోటీస్ హు కమ్ ఆల్ ది వే టు హియర్ ఫ్రమ్ మహారాజ్. On the order of Govind Prabhu, I am speaking this Bhagavatam class. O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky and water. You are the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, the consciousness and false ego. Indeed, you are everything subtle and gross, the material elements and anything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, are nothing but you. In these prayers of Prahlad, like we were reading yesterday also, similar verse. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is his energy. We find in the Vedic literature The Lord is glorified in various ways. And one of the ways of glorifying, as we see here, is, as Prahlad says, you are everything. This philosophy of Lord being everything, or the philosophy speaking, the oneness aspect of the Lord, has been very thoroughly misunderstood and misinterpreted by so many so-called scholars in the past and the present. In India, there are many stories. One such story is a saintly person. He is eating his food, and a dog comes to eat the chapati. So he puts his mouth in the plate and picks up a roti and runs away. So this fellow, the sadhu, calls the dog back. Come back, come back. I'll apply some ghee and give you. So he's calling, oh God, come back. Take this ghee and then eat the roti applied with ghee. So there are many people who glorify that saint, saying that he treats even dog as God, or he treats every creature as God. Any creature and every creature he treats as God. This is a very famous story amongst people who are religious, well-known story. So Prabhupada quotes this story and he condemns that so-called sadhu by saying, sometimes the same dog may be licking the nose of the person. So one may consider that dog as God and appreciate his action of being licked by the dog. So this arises from the misconception of considering every living being to be God. There is one class of religionists in India who use the word Daridra Narayan. So they say you should serve the poor people because they are all Daridra, they are poor. And actually they are all Narayana only. They are all Narayana in different forms. As poor people or poor dogs or cats or living entities. So they are all Narayana. And we feed them food and we give them clothing and everything. When Prabhupada heard it, Prabhupada said, who is Daridra? You are Daridra, Narayana is Daridra. Prabhupada asked, who is poverty stricken? You are poverty stricken and Narayana is poverty stricken. Narayana is never poverty stricken. He is always being served by Lakshmiji, goddess of fortune, serving at his lotus feet. Always. In fact, while staying at Narayana's feet, Lakshmi never leaves his feet. In fact, in the material world, Lakshmi never stays with anyone. She always jumps from one pocket to another pocket. Whereas in the spiritual world, she never leaves the feet of Narayana. So in the material world, Lakshmi is called as Chanchala. Chanchala means one who is always fickle, one who doesn't stay with one person. Whereas in the spiritual world, Lakshmi is always at Narayana's feet. How can Narayana ever become poverty stricken? He is full of six opulences, always. So this conception of so-called understanding of God as Daridra Narayan is simply bogus, simply cheating, calling God as Daridra. So where does it arise from? The root misconception from where this kind of treating dog as God or treating the poor people as Narayana, all these things arise from the misconception of treating everything as God. Treating everything as God. So here we are talking the philosophy of how to see everything as God. So unless we understand the misconception part of it, we cannot come to the right conception of it. So the misconception is so deadly, as we were saying now. In fact, there are Japanese companies, when they advertise, I don't know where they heard this oneness concept from. Some swamis from India must have gone and propagated everything is one philosophy. One is all is one. This kind of philosophy. So they give an advertisement, you will see in the electronic gadgets in Japan. They say, you know, you are me. I am you. All is one. One is all. We are all God. So we cannot do anything wrong. So buy our product. So, yeah, they advertise like that. Yeah, what they are saying, I am you and you are me, so we are all one, and because we are all gods, we can do no wrong. This is one of the advertisements. So this kind of false lullaby is being sung even in the field of advertisements and television and media because of this so-called oneness philosophy. So there are many people who speak bombastic words about religion. All is one, one is all. So everyone is good. Don't say anything bad about anyone. Everything is all right. You can worship anyone. In fact, all demigods. Don't call anyone as demigods. Nobody is dummy god or demigod. Everyone is God only. Accept everyone as God. So these things come from the same misconception of treating everything as God. Treating everyone and everything as God. And the very same people, if some human being proclaims himself to be God, they think, what's wrong after all? God is everything. So even if somebody claims as God, it's all right. People feel like that because of the misconception. So, it is very important to properly understand this statement of Prahalad, where he is calling the Lord as everything, air, earth, fire, sky, water. You are everything. In fact, in the pages of Bhagavatam, there is a verse, Bhayam dvitiya bhaniveshatasyat ishad apetasya viparyayo asmritihi. This verse says, Bhayam means fear. Fear overtakes an individual when dvitiya, when he sees two-ness, not oneness. When he sees two. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesatasyat. Abhinivesha is absorption in matter. It's called as abhinivesh. Ishad apetasya viparyayo asmritihi. Apetasya means to turn our face away from the Lord. It says, when we turn our face away from Krishna, then we see everything as two, he says. Ishad apetasya viparyayo asmritihi. And then one is afflicted by these two diseases, which is misidentification and forgetfulness. These two diseases. Viparyayo asmriti. One misidentifies oneself and also one also becomes forgetful of Krishna when one sees two. What is this two has to be very carefully understood. In fact, the whole discussion, what we will do subsequently now, will be based on this point. Bhayam dvitiyad abhinivesatasyad. What is this two-ness he is talking about? The whole material life is founded on I and mine. We always make a demarcation line. We say India and Pakistan. We draw a line. We and they. And even within India, when there is a problem of some water, in Tamil Nadu and Karnataka or Andhra Pradesh, demarcation line, we and they. And then even within one state, there can be line marked between people of different castes. People belonging to different castes, different color, different creed, and all that. And even amongst the people of the same place, there can be educated, uneducated. We always demarcate in this world. We always count in terms of I and mine. So, we have to know what is the correct understanding of everything is one. And we will also see what is the advantage of understanding this philosophy of everything is one. Both have to be understood. As Prabhupada quotes this verse, Maya tadamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. He quotes this verse. So this verse and the subsequent verse, Nachamatstani Bhutani. In these two verses, Krishna explains these concepts very clearly. You know, when people talk about God being one, like here you hear earth, water, fire, everything is God. Immediately, the material mind imagines that the God must be impersonal. He may not have a form because he is pervading everywhere, everything. Whereas, Krishna himself says in this verse, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina, he says. Murti means form. Avyakta Murti means unmanifest form. Which means, Krishna says, I am there, but I am not manifest to you. Just like somebody is sitting in a car with a cooling glass. He is there inside, but we can't see. It's not that there is no one inside, just because we can't see. There is someone inside, but we can't see. So Lord says, you can't see me, although I am present in my personal form. As in Bhagavad Gita elsewhere, he says, Sarvata Panipadam Tat Sarvato Vakshishiro Mukam Sarvata Shrutiman Loke Sarva Mahavritti Tishtati. The super soul stands everywhere. His eyes are everywhere, ears are everywhere, his hands are everywhere, legs are everywhere. I am present everywhere, he says. Sarva Mahavritti Tishtati. I am pervading everything, yet I have a personal form. So, Lord says that I have a form, but I am also all pervading. How? Here comes the very vital concept of the difference and oneness between Lord's energy and Himself. So, in certain portions of the scripture, you will find Lord's personal form as energetic is distinguished from His energies. In some places, like we say, Goloka Nivasati, Akilatma Bhuto. Lord is situated in the spiritual world, but He is also present everywhere in the material world. So that clearly it's distinguished. The energetic is different from His energies. Elsewhere you will find the Lord is proclaimed as His energies themselves. You are yourself the energies also. Just like the sun and the sunlight. The sunlight is also the sun. But the sun has its independent existence also. Apart from the sunlight. So here lies the solution to the understanding of this oneness. The Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva very clearly explains. We have to know both the things. Lord has its position individually and He has His energies. And the Lord also is His energies, both. So the Bheda means Lord is individual apart from His energies. Abheda means Lord is His energies, both. Both are explained. So as Krishna says here, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam, I am pervading everything in this world. What is the meaning of that? Prabhupada often used to say in his lectures that the conditioned souls never even question to whom does this world belong to. They simply take everything and enjoy as if they are the only ones existing here. They just can't see anyone above. They feel that we are there and the things are there, just enjoy. That's all. So Prabhupada would quote a verse very often. He would say, Bhumi rapo analova yukam mano buddhireva cha ahankar iti yam me. That me Prabhupada would emphasize. The meaning of the word me means mine. All these eight things are whose? Krishna says they are mine. Bhinna prakriti shada. They are my energies, material energies. And then Krishna says, Aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhi me param. Again the word me, Krishna says. Then the jivas who have come from the spiritual world, they also belong to me only. So by saying this, Krishna has proclaimed His proprietorship over the material and spiritual worlds openly in Bhagavad Gita. So all these things belong to me only. What is the proof that everything belongs to Krishna? There are so many people, sometimes between brothers there is an argument whether the land belongs to one brother or the other one. Sometimes there is a fight. Sometimes they cut each other's leg or hands or something. In the terrible fight that happens. But both the fellows, they are fighting and they may kill each other and they are gone. But still the land remains Krishna's property. It will always remain Krishna's eternally. Because Krishna has proclaimed it. And besides that, we can also see one of the easiest ways to know that it doesn't belong to us. Easiest way to know is how we are controlled in this world. When Prabhupada was in Honolulu, there were many planes flying aboard, like 747 plane flying aboard. So some disciples saw the planes flying and then they took a devil's advocate, like a scientist, and they asked Prabhupada. And they said, Prabhupada, scientists have made so much advancement that you know, they are practically doing miracles. Prabhupada said, what have they done? And they said, just see, Prabhupada, there are planes flying above. Huh? How they have become so advanced in technology. They are practically controlling the whole world. Huh? And Prabhupada said, what is so great about it? When the fuel is finished, it will land down. You know? So how long can we control the things of this material world? We have very little control over them. And then the disciple counter-argued. He said, but Prabhupada, at least they have some control. And Prabhupada said, some control means no control. God means you have absolute control. Then you are God. If you have some control, that means you are not God. It is as good as no control, because there are always things above us which can control us. So, why Krishna is saying, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam, or when he says this, Bhumi Rappo Nalavayu, he wants us to know that he is present in the midst of us through his energies, and we should not forget him. He wants to remind us to not forget all these energies are mine. You are using someone else's property and you are accountable to him. And don't just keep enjoying. Always remember. For example, there is a live wire and there is a wire which has no electricity. They may look alike, but a live wire has electricity. If you catch a live wire, you'll get a shock. Similarly, the Lord's deity form. The Lord's deity form may be made of one of the eight elements, like the stone or wood or anything. But in the deity form, the Lord is present as the deity. Like you see in Jagannath Puri, when Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra are being carried in the chariots, you find sometimes 7 or 8 lakh people in the front dancing and singing and playing instruments. How is it that the Lord, you know, Lord Jagannath is pulling the hearts of 7 lakh people, although there is a stampede of people, there is so much of crowd in that lane. Everyone knows, people are sweating, there is so much inconvenience, still people come in between that lane and they are participating and chanting and dancing. Because although Jagannath is Daru Brahman made of wood, Lord is manifesting himself through wood. People know it is not ordinary wood. It is Lord himself manifesting himself as the deity form. So those who are fortunate and intelligent can see the Lord in the deity form. And the Lord is manifesting. That's like the difference between a live wire and a dead wire. Or a wire with no electricity. So Lord can also manifest himself through the material elements. Like when we say saguna worship or nirguna worship. Saguna worship means worshipping the Lord with qualities. And nirguna worship is actually the Lord. Nirguna worship is not impersonal worship. Nirguna worship is actually Lord in his transcendental position, transcendental form, which is not manifest to our eyes. Although Krishna is present in his spiritual form, he cannot be easily seen. So Krishna agrees to come as the deity form so that we can see him, we can touch him, we can dress him, bathe him, we can serve him, we can offer bhoga to him, we can circumambulate him. He appears exactly in the form as he appears in the spiritual world. But he appears in a way that we can render our service to him. He appears. One should be convinced about this philosophy of how it is Lord only who has expanded as his energies. All these energies. So it is possible for the Lord to manifest himself from anywhere. It's possible. He can manifest himself from the deity form. Or he can manifest anywhere. If you see, when Lord Brahma suddenly at one point of time was confused when he saw Hiranyaksha, how he can be killed. All the demigods were all worried. And from his nose came out the Varaha avatar, Varaha form. It came out of his nose. Even Brahma could not ascertain who he was. That is why it is said, Muhyanti yat Sureha. Even the demigods are bewildered about the Lord's personality. Brahma or other sages and demigods couldn't ascertain who that creature was who came out of Brahma's nose. And then he was thumb size. Then he became this much size. And then he became like a elephant size. And then he went up in the sky and everyone was watching in great reverence. They were stuck there. They didn't know whether it is Asura or a Devata or who is it. And then Lord saw that everyone is bewildered. So Lord, there were also hairs on the body of that Varaha. The Lord moved his body like this, and from the hairs, the water sprinkled over the sages and saints and demigods. And the water was so fragrant like rose-scented waters. So just like in the morning, the pujari, they throw it on the people. Exactly like that, similar to that. As soon as that water touched the sages, everyone became awakened to the reality of who that person was.
Sahasrasher sapurushah sahasrakshas sahasrapa.
They all started offering the prayers of Purusha Sukta. Because they understood who it was. It is Lord Vishnu. They understood. So, Lord in this way can manifest from anywhere, anytime. Like, who is the parent of Lord Narasingadev? Like, we can say Krishna's parents are Devaki and Vasudev. Who is Narasingadev's parents? He came from a pillar. So, Lord can manifest from anywhere. He can come from a pillar. So, a devotee is convinced that Lord can manifest himself from any place, anywhere, at any time. It's possible. But at the same time, one has to know how this material world is simultaneously connected to the Lord and not connected to Him. That is why in the next verse it says, Nachamatstani Bhutani Pashyame Yogamaisharam. The Lord says, don't think that I am pervading this whole world, so because of which I don't have any independent existence. Don't think like that, the Lord says. In fact, He says, I don't do any activity materially speaking. Everything is done by my energies. Just like Prabhupada gives an example, say a very wealthy man, say he has got about 20 bungalows in Bombay. Now he is sitting in one of those bungalows. Now he wants to demolish the bungalow and make a skyscraper building. Nowadays everywhere they are making skyscrapers so that they can rent it out and make more money. So if he wants to make a skyscraper building in one other bungalow, all he needs to do is to pay some money. He has the money power and he will pay the money, and then somebody else may demolish the house and a lot of dust and dirt may come and they will have to reconstruct it, and it may take a lot of energy, time and strain and stress and everything. But this owner, he doesn't take any trouble. He is completely aloof. He is sitting elsewhere, either in an AC room or he is playing golf or something. You know, he doesn't have anything to do. Nachamatstani. I am not in them. I am not bound by anything, Krishna says. My energies do everything for me. But that doesn't mean my energies are independent, he says. My energies, they depend on me for my supervision and guidance. And then he says, but they act. My energies do everything. For example, in the morning, if you see, early morning when the sun rises in the east, when the first ray of the sun comes and falls, the flowers blossom. And the flowers have different colors. So Prabhupada used to tell in his conversation that the flowers are painted by Krishna. It is not wrong to say that Krishna painted the flowers. So one disciple asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, literally Krishna painted these flowers? Does he bring a color box, watercolor box, and take and paint each and every flower? Does he do like that? And then Prabhupada said, don't think Krishna creates the universe and taking a chisel and hammer in hand and creating the universe. Talk, and hits and makes one planet at a time. His energies are powerful. Parasya Shaktir Divideva Shuyate Swabhava Kijnana Balakriya. So he has the Icha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, all these Shaktis. And he gives a command and immediately all things happen. The flowers are blossoming with different colors. The green mango fruits are becoming yellow and orange, ripened fruits. You see like that, everything is happening in nature by Krishna's will, by expressing His will. So the material nature is functioning not independently, but by guided by Krishna. Just like King like Ambarish Maharaj, somebody may wonder, Ambarish Maharaj seems to be all the time of, 24 hours devotee. He's going to temple, he's doing Mandira Marjan, he's taking darshan of the Lord, and he seems to be completely absorbed in devotional life. When does he do his management? One may wonder. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives his example. that kings like Ambarish Maharaj, when he would come to the court and when he sits on the throne, then all the ministers stand up and they salute him and they all report to him what all activities they are doing. And then he may just give a smile or he may just nod his head and then he may go back to do his devotional duties. And then the ministers continue their management and practical activity. They do that. And this is how Ambarish manages his kingdom. In the same way, the Lord manages the universe. The presence of the Lord is a necessary condition for all the demigods and other agents of the Lord to do their respective duties, because they are working for whose pleasure? Krishna's pleasure only. So all the energies will work when Krishna is watching them and inspiring them, guiding them, and then they all do their duties, you know. And Krishna doesn't have to do, somebody is controlling the water department, somebody is controlling the fire department. The whole universe functions very wonderfully. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says, the Prakriti is like a wife, and the Lord is like the Purusha, like the husband. Like, you know, in a family, sometimes in India you find, if some guests, special guests come, the husband turns into the kitchen side and his wife is waiting there ready for some instruction. As soon as the husband says some guests have come, you know, make some 4 glass of milk or something, he just gives a signal. Immediately the wife is set into action. She starts going into the kitchen preparing some snacks, you know, preparing some milk and everything, and then she brings it outside. So Prabhupada says the Prakriti works exactly like that. The Prakriti is waiting for an instruction from Krishna. And when Krishna, when he glances at Prakriti, immediately the nature starts doing all the activities. So in this way, the material nature is able to accomplish so many activities simply by the will of Krishna. That's why he says, Nachamatsthani Bhutani, Pashyame, Yogam Aishwaram. This is my mystic opulence, Krishna says. So the material nature is connected to me. At the same time, it is not connected to me also, he says. I am not like the Atlas holding the earth. You know, it's too much a burden for me. So, in fact, when Lord Brahma, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find, when he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu, beautiful darshan of Lord Vishnu, beginning from the lotus feet and his beautiful yellow dhoti and the chest of the Lord and Vaijayanti Mala in his neck and the mukut and the kundal and beautiful smiling face. After that, Brahma asked a boon. In one of his boons, he asked the Lord, my dear Lord, how is it that you create this world, this material world, and yet you don't become attached to the material world? How is it that you remain detached? How do you do that? In fact, if you can reveal that secret to me, then I can also follow in your footsteps. Because you have given me the most great, difficult task of creation. And I am afraid, when I create all the living entities, I may become attached to them. Or in the course of creating the living entities, there may be some vicious living entities by whose association I may fall down. There's a possibility. And how I can keep myself aloof and not fall down, prey to asat sangha, bad association. Or how I can not fall prey to the false pride. How I can remain aloof. Or how I can create them and manage them without getting involved myself. Through those energies, how I can do that? Brahma actually asked this question to Lord Vishnu. That was the time Lord Vishnu spoke the Chatushloki Bhagavata. Aham eva asam eva agre nanyat sadasat param. He spoke those verses. So, in one of those verses, he says, Rite artam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta cha atmani tad vidhi atmano mayam yata bhaso yata tamaha. The Lord said that one should know rite artam yat pratiyeta, the absolute truth, he said. Rite artam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta cha atmani. If someone sees anything in this world which is shining, which is beautiful, which is attractive, and one becomes captivated by the beauty of those things in this world, but they do not see its connection to me, that is called Maya. He told them. Tad viddi atmano mayam. Understand that to be my Maya, he said. Here lies the greatest secret for all of us in our lives also. How we should work while living in this world. We should never get entangled in the objects of this material world and keep ourselves aloof like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. And how is it possible? The Lord says here the solution. He says that if you see anything in this world to be separated from me, and you don't see its connection to me, that is called Maya. That's why Maya is called as the Bahiranga Shakti or Bhinname Prakritashtada. Maya is a separated energy in this world. And one can see the glittering illusion of this world and may become captivated by its beauty. And both these things can happen to an individual. One is, one may, by that asatsanga or bad company of bad association, one can fall down. And also, one can become proud because of inability to see its connection to the Lord. That is the advantage of learning to see the oneness aspect. The oneness aspect is, there is nothing but Krishna. Everything is Krishna. How we can see that? Everything in this world is either Krishna's material energy or Krishna's spiritual energy. Even when I am alone and no one is around me, I am left all alone, still Krishna is watching me. So one will develop that faith because this universe is permeated by energies of Krishna, and Krishna also can manifest through his energies. There is no place where Krishna is not present. Like, you know, when one is becoming a devotee, one of the aspects of becoming a devotee is to learn to see the hand of Krishna in everything in our life. Like we say, to see everything to be arrangement of Krishna, or to see the hand of Krishna in everything that we do. For example, it's not that as a conditioned soul, we will not be fascinated by the Maya or illusory energy, even after coming to the path of devotional life. But at least one should have the good sense to know that this is a very powerful display of illusory energy that is bewildering me. Please Krishna save me. Please Krishna protect me. Please Krishna help me to remember you. One can pray like that. But if one does not see the illusory energy to be Krishna's energy, like sometimes amongst the Christians, sometimes they think that the Maya or Satan can overpower Jesus. Or sometimes Jesus has a tough time with Satan. Or sometimes Satan can be more powerful than Jesus also. Sometimes they tend to think like that. Actually, it's not that Satan and God, they are like having a head-on collision with each other, and Satan is an independent force, and Satan can act sometimes more powerful than God also. That's not the case. Krishna clearly says, Mama Maya Duratyaya, he says. Mama Maya means Satan is also my energy only, Krishna is saying. And I have kept that energy. Why? In order to offer this material world to those tiny living entities who want to be independent of me. In order to give them a facility, I have arranged for Saturn to guide this world and run this material world. And Vedavyasa also clearly saw Mayam cha tad apashriyam bhakti pranhite. That verse is Mayam cha tad apashriyam. It says Vedavyasa saw Krishna was standing, and by his side Maya was standing, and Maya was dark and Krishna was bright, and the Maya was completely under the control of Krishna. He saw that clearly. He saw. It's not that Maya is an independent energy. But one should know that if I forget Krishna, then Krishna will subject me to Maya. That we should know. Surely. If we turn our face away from him. So what is the meaning of Bhinnadri or Bhayam Dvitiya Dabhinivesha? The Dvitiya means to see something to be not connected to Krishna. That is called as Dvitiya. That means we think this is mine and that is Krishna's. To see like that. That is the duality. For example, sometimes a rich man comes to the temple. He takes out his purse and takes a 1 rupee coin and puts in the hundi. Krishna, this 1 rupee is for you and the balance money in the purse is for me. That is Dvitiya. So this money is mine and that money is yours. to make a demarcation and see like that, that is duality, that causes suffering. Then watch it one thing, everything belongs to Krishna. Everything in this universe is owned by Krishna. I also belong to Krishna. So I will use everything in Krishna's service, I will use myself also. And what is left? Nothing is left. Everything is Krishna's only. That is true oneness. That is true oneness. One can understand. In fact, I am part and parcel of Krishna. That is why in Vaidhi Bhakti, we think Krishna is the master and I am his servant. That is Vaidhi Bhakti. Raghavanuga Bhakti means I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. That is Raghavanuga Bhakti. One understands Krishna belongs to me and I belong to Krishna. And everything belongs to Krishna. That's the meaning of Mahatma. Mahatma is a person who cannot see anything that is existing independent of Krishna. He says everything is Krishna's property only. And everything should be used in Krishna's service. Like that. So, in this way, seeing all the energies in relation to Krishna and also seeing that Krishna can manifest through them anytime at his will, and also seeing that all these energies are functioning exactly as per the desire of Krishna, then one can understand that Krishna is only orchestrating them. Just like you see puppeteer sometimes, there is a hand of the puppeteer in the top, and below there are strings and there are toys. So the toys are moving the hands this way, that way. But then, you know, there is a puppeteer's hand which is orchestrating them to move. Similarly, a devotee can see that nothing in this world acts independently without Krishna desiring them to happen. One can see like that. That is why here we find in Bhagavatam, Prahlad was an extreme devotee, pure devotee, Mahabhagavat devotee. And Hiranyakashipu was an extreme demon. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, Prahlad, tell me, where is your God whom you are often talking about? Every time you keep talking about my God, where is your God? Show me. And Prahlad couldn't say exactly where his God was. He didn't say, you know, my God is existing only in 7 km Munshi Marg, you know, standing there in the altar as Radha Gopinath. Yes, Radha Gopinath is also the Supreme God. But besides him, Prahlad could see everywhere. He said, my dear father, my God is everywhere, he said. Wherever you go, you can see him. He is present everywhere. That's all I can say. And you're asking, where is my God? My God is everywhere. Can manifest from anywhere, any place. And Hiranyakashipu said, don't try to escape like this, giving a general answer. God is everywhere. Exactly, tell me. You see there in this pillar? He asked him. So, sometimes we may carry a pen in our pocket, but we are searching for the pen everywhere. But we don't find the pen anywhere. And somebody may show you, hey, your pen is in your pocket only. Similarly, the Lord is in our own heart. Standing in our own heart. But he is searching everywhere and he couldn't find anywhere. And Prahlad said, he's in your heart. He's in my heart also. Lord Hari is in the heart of everyone. And he is also present in every atom. He is also present in between the atoms. And there is no place where he is not there. And he is present in all his energies. He is there in water. He is there in earth. He is there in the sky. He is present in the spiritual world. He is present in the material world. And he will be available to you if you simply call out his names, as Prabhupada says here. If you chant his names, anywhere, any place, any time, the Lord will manifest. He is not bound by space or time. Draupadi is calling Krishna, standing in Hastinapur. In those days, Hastinapur is modern day New Delhi. And she is calling from New Delhi and Krishna is in Dwaraka. You can see it's a faraway place. But then as soon as Draupadi called for Krishna, immediately Krishna appeared there in Hastinapur. So Krishna is not separated by space. He is only separated by our lack of ability to cry out for him. If one can call out his name, Krishna can be immediately manifest. Same thing with Gajendra also. Gajendra never knew the name of the Lord also. In the previous life, he worshipped Lord Narayana. But he had forgotten completely. Somehow those verses came to his mind and he started telling those verses and he looked up at the sky and he saw all the demigods were all arrayed there. He was sure about one thing. My God is none of these gods. That much he was sure. My God is beyond all this. Devatas. So because all the devatas were actually willing to help, but he felt that none of them is capable of helping. He ignored them and they all became a little offended. What is this? Now, we are all offering help and this fellow is not taking help. Huh? And so they all took about turn and went away. Huh? They turned their face away. At last, not knowing whom to call, because he had forgotten the name, he spoke many verses. When the pain became very, very excruciating, unbearable, at that time, he shouted very loudly. Actually, I heard this story in Tamil, so I'll tell you what I heard. He called up, "Oh, Adi Moolame, Anitrikkum Apparpatta Varampurule," he called. Which means, "Oh Lord, the source of everything, one which is beyond all this material existence, you have a transcendental existence. You are always the master in the transcendental world. You are existing there. Please come," he called him. And immediately who came? Lord Narayana and the bird carrier with his wheel and the shank and the lotus flower and mace and everything. The Lord appeared there. When the Lord appeared, all the demigods also, again they also came along with him. Why? Because the demigods felt that when this fellow did not surrender to us, we felt offended. And that was an offense to the Lord. They felt like that. So they thought that it was so foolish of us to think why this fellow didn't invite us. That way we committed an offense to Lord. So they all wanted to seek forgiveness. So they also came along with the Lord and they bowed down to him. Now the Lord was in Vaikuntha and Gajendra is here in the material world. He is calling not even the Lord's name. Which goes to show, if somebody is living in Congo forest but is a very sincere soul, even in the middle of Congo forest, Krishna can deliver such a soul. He may somehow reach him. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam apayantite. I will give him the right buddhi by which I can bring him back to me, Krishna says. Anywhere in the world, all one needs is sincerity. So Prabhupada says in one of the Bhagavad Gita purports, all one needs to do is to render some service and that service should be rendered with love, he says. If one does that, then Krishna will reveal himself. As he says here about the holy name. So when a devotee chants the holy name, Krishna surely manifests. How do we know whether Krishna is manifesting when I chant the holy name? Is my holy name taking effect? Or is the chanting of the holy name not taking effect? Am I just blindly doing a jaw exercise? Or I'm just repeating the words every day? How can we be confident that the Lord is hearing the sound vibration which is coming from my mouth? Like, you know, when we talk of Draupadi or Gajendra or Ajamila, in all these cases, it's very self-evident. And the Lord manifested and then he protected them and all that. In our case, how can we be sure? If we are chanting the holy names with a proper spirit and attitude, like we find Prahlad here having this realization, "Oh Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky, water. You are the object of sense perception, life as five senses, mind, consciousness, false ego. Indeed, you are everything subtle and gross. The material elements and anything expressed either by words or by the mind are nothing but you." One can get this realization. When one hears the sound of a cuckoo, one can understand how much more sweeter Krishna's voice must be. Similarly, when one sees all the opulences of the material world, he says, "Mama teja amsha sambhavan," Krishna says. They are all a small display of my splendor. So, a devotee who is chanting the holy name over a period of time will develop respect for the Lord and love for the Lord, and gradually that vision will culminate in Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamayi Pashyati Tasyaham Na Pranashyami Sachameena Pranashyati. Which means Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra means a devotee will see Krishna everywhere. How? Like Prabhupada saw a big van going. He asked one of the disciples, "How do you like that van?" And the devotee asked, "About the van, how is the van Krishna conscious?" The devotee was wondering. And then Prabhupada asked, "I was thinking whether that van could be used as a Sankirtan van." So then the devotee understood the connection. So Prabhupada would always see sometimes a building and ask the disciple, "How do you like this building?" And then devotees would wonder. And then he would say, "I wish we have this building for Krishna." Like he desired the Fisher's mansion in Detroit, or he saw George Harrison's manor Nagat Manor became Bhaktivedanta Manor. So Prabhupada actually saw Krishna everywhere. When he saw the buildings, when he saw the trucks, wherever he went. You know, a devotee is also an opportunist. But he's opportunist for Krishna. For example, Prabhupada came to Calcutta. At that time, there were Naxalites who were shooting the businessmen in Calcutta. So many businessmen were killed. And other businessmen were leaving Calcutta and running to Delhi. So when Prabhupada landed in Calcutta airport, many elderly gentlemen, businessmen came to meet him. And they asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, what's happening in Calcutta now? Why are such people being killed? Why the youth has become uncontrollable? So Prabhupada was telling them, just a few days ago I was in Japan. And they have made so much advancement technologically, scientifically. But let me tell you, they are not happy. So without God, no one can be happy. Without chanting his name, no one can be happy, Prabhupada said. And then they asked, one man came and asked, staff reporter, Swamiji, I heard you said communists cannot be happy without chanting the holy name. Yes, Prabhupada said, why only communist? Whether you are a communist or a capitalist, without the holy name, no one can be happy. Prabhupada said. He said it as soon as he landed in Calcutta. And then later on, Prabhupada told his disciples that, you know, in Calcutta there is Naxalite culture. In Delhi, there is a political turmoil. Bombay is the best place for preaching. Because in Bombay, people are very materialistic. The cinema stars are very famous. The television is very famous in Bombay. And people are making lots of money. And the best intelligence from all over India is coming towards Bombay now. And Prabhupada said, this is the best place for preaching. So let us go to Bombay. Can you find out how we can go to Bombay and do something? When Prabhupada was just saying this, immediately one Mr. Dandariya in Calcutta, he came and told Prabhupada, I have a business relative living in Bombay, one Mr. Saxaria. And he will arrange everything for you, Swamiji, if you go to Bombay. And you can start preaching there. And then Prabhupada came with his Western disciples to Bombay. And, you know, one of the first programs he did was in Chowpatty Beach, the Sadhu Samaj program. From where preaching took off in a very big way after that. So, as Prabhupada says here, Tatra Tishnami Narada Yatra Gayanti Madbhakta. A devotee who chants the holy names with sincerity will very soon find the Lord occupying his heart. Now, in Bhagavatam, these words are used. What is that verse? Bhavadvida Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Guruvanti Tirthani Sva Antasthena Gadabrata. And the Lord's devotees carry him in their heart. Now what about all of us? Are we not carrying the Lord in our heart? Everyone is carrying the Lord in the heart, but the Lord's devotees have become awakened to that reality. That's what makes them different. They have become awakened to that reality of Lord in the heart. Similarly, Prabhupada says, even a neophyte devotee, by chanting the holy names, one can experience the presence of Krishna. Prabhupada says in one place, a devotee can feel the presence of Krishna in his life and in all the activities. And he can also see that the Lord is arranging all the things of his or her life very wonderfully so that one can approach Krishna very easily. Thinking about how Krishna is so wonderfully arranging things in my life, a devotee becomes grateful. Many times a devotee can be burst into tears seeing how Krishna arranged the things for me so nicely that I can become a devotee. He arranged this devotee to come, that devotee to come. He arranged the situation and circumstances in a way. Sometimes when I was trying to go in the wrong path, Lord pulled me from behind. He didn't give me success in the wrong path. By giving failure, he bestowed his mercy on me. And by sending a devotee to interfere with my going in the wrong route, Lord brought me back. So this is another symptom of a devotee who is becoming more and more realized in Krishna. That such a devotee can see Krishna's arrangements made by Krishna. Seeing the hand of Krishna in everyone's life. That will happen when one chants the holy name. And also, one will honestly try to avoid Maya. If one is chanting the holy names properly. One will not... it's not that a devotee cannot slip and fall prey to Maya. That possibility is always there. But a devotee will not delightfully engage in Maya. But a devotee may... devotee will honestly try to avoid Maya and try to sincerely progress towards Krishna. And also, the verses of the scriptures will make a lot of sense to the devotee. When the devotee reads Bhagavad Gita, it will appear as if Krishna is speaking to him straight into his heart. A devotee will be able to recognize Krishna's sound vibration when Krishna is speaking through the scriptures. And one will be able to understand the value of spiritual master in one's life. It is said the jiva greatly hankers to attain Krishna. Where the longing of the jiva to attain Krishna and where Krishna's causeless mercy is coming down to the material world like a hook to pull us up, the joining point of these two things is the place where spiritual master exists. So Krishna's mercy comes into this material world manifesting in the form of the spiritual master. Krishna extends his mercy like that into our life. And we have a longing also to attain Krishna. By that longing, Krishna connects us to the spiritual master. And then when we are rightly connected and we take shelter, and the best gift spiritual master gives the disciple is the holy name. The topmost gift that he bestows upon the disciple. And when the disciple chants the holy names very attentively, very sincerely, with great effort, then what is the result of such chanting of the holy name? Gradually, a disciple finds that the Chaitya Guru I have in my heart, the super soul who is guiding me, has only manifested as my spiritual master externally to guide me and lead me on the right path. Such a devotee following the instructions of the Guru will soon find the spiritual master occupying his mind and the heart, always. And then such a devotee also awakens his relationship with the spiritual master, his relationship with Krishna. And such a devotee is surely free to walk all over the surface of the globe anywhere without becoming afflicted by Maya. Why? Because like Prahlad is saying here, such a devotee will see all the energies connected to Krishna. Exactly like sometimes we have a remote control of a television, isn't it? You press the buttons and you operate the TV. Similarly, Krishna has remote control of all the energies in the material world. And he controls them directly. Everything is in Krishna's hands. Nothing can happen without Krishna's will. So this is the advantage of understanding the oneness aspect. Oneness aspect understanding is also important. Why? If somebody doesn't understand the oneness aspect, then sometimes they may behave like a devotee, but at the same time, because of not understanding the connection of Krishna's energies to him, sometimes such a person can be swayed by Maya. When one, Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki, so one can become swayed by Maya by not seeing that type of connection. Some people think that when I am coming to temple, I am a devotee. And when I am in my office, then I will behave like the other people. So this is like double standard. You know what is double standard? Like chameleon. The chameleon, you know, when it goes to the green grass, it becomes green. When it climbs on the treetop, it becomes brown. It changes its colors. So actually a devotee has only one life, the life of a devotee. And of course, externally a devotee may wear a pant and shirt or similarly, ladies may wear a different type of dress when they go to office. Externally, we may look like karmis, but actually a devotee who understands these concepts, for them, Krishna is always there with them. Just like when you walk in the street, sometimes in the night you find the moon. Wherever you go, the moon also follows. You wonder, I was here, you go to Dadar, Dadar also moon is above you, above your head. Similarly, if Krishna is there watching every one of our activities, how we can have double standard? It is not possible. We will be the same devotees everywhere, wherever we are. So, this kind of understanding of Krishna permeating everything will help us to see the hand of Krishna and presence of Krishna everywhere. At the same time, the Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly explains Krishna is aloof in the spiritual world, although he manages all the affairs through his energies in the material world. So, in this way, Prahlad Maharaj, in this wonderful series of prayers to Lord Narasimhadev, explains different aspects of the philosophy. And you will find, although Prahlad is speaking all this, apparently, you know, very dry philosophy in this particular translation, it appears like that. But it is only one small aspect of his prayer. But the core aspect of his prayer is the humble Prahlad, offering prayer to the Lord, saying that, my dear Lord, in this body, there is demoniac blood flowing in this body. Because I am born in a demon's family, Hiranyakashipu's family. And by my side, I am seeing all the demigods like Brahma, Indra, Chandra, they are all standing. And they are all so eloquent in Sanskrit. And they all offer such wonderful prayers to you. And I am feeling ashamed in front of them, standing and offering any prayer to you. What is my qualification? Because they are ordering me to do, I am offering this prayer, he is saying. So this is the mood of Prahlad, treating the Lord as his master and himself as his servant, and aspiring only for service and nothing else in this whole creation, eager to be connected to him in service as his lovable Lord. That is actually the main theme of all the prayers of Prahlad. And in the course of offering that prayer, Prahlad's prayers also clearly show that his bhakti was not just sentimental. Prahlada's bhakti actually is very deep-rooted with understanding of the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which is described in this verse. Thank you very much. Grantharashimut Bhagavatam ki, Kaur Bhaktavinda ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Reksh.